When we see a problem or people in pain, the human condition inspires and motivates, well, at least most of us to do something. Some do it from a distance, others are a bit more hands-on and up close. The next guest represents that second group of people. His organization has brought people of all experience and skills into Ukraine to help the people who are being subjected to, as you well know, some of the most horrific crimes in history. Here to explain what the efforts of Volunteers for Ukraine are all about is military veteran, founder of the organization, who, as we speak, is currently in Ukraine, David Rabardo. Thank you for being here today, David.
Hello. Thank you for having me today.
And the website, remember, pay attention to this, because the organization is Volunteers for Ukraine. However, someone beat them to that. So the website for David's organization is volunteerforukraine.org, volunteerforukraine.org. And, yes, we have it linked at our homepage as well. And, David, the title displays the obvious, but give a little more specific about what your organization is doing in Ukraine and surrounding countries, too, I believe.
Absolutely. So our team here is a grassroots movement. We're a relatively new non-governmental organization. We're a 501c3 nonprofit based out of, unfortunately, Pennsylvania here. Not quite New Jersey. I'm from New Jersey originally, but so living across in PA, that's where we're from. So our group here on the ground is doing a couple of major things. One of them is we saw that there was a demand for volunteers here. When the war kicked off, we had a large number of people from not just the United States, but all around the world, military and civilians, doctors. We had web developers. We had people with construction and rescue backgrounds all coming out of the woodwork saying, what can I do to help? They witnessed the atrocities of war and offered their services and support. So our organization came out of that need to help them get there, and we've been taking donors with airline miles and helping these volunteers travel over to assist the people impacted by the conflict. And as that program began to reach further and further into the country, we began to see a need for precision material support. So what this means is that the government has been doing what they can to impact these large communities by distributing humanitarian assistance. But ultimately, it's a huge country. There's so many areas that are desperately in need. And many of these refugees were pushed to the west, to countries such as Poland. So we are watching as they've dropped off their families into safe areas. Many of them have come back into Ukraine to help fill the gaps in the system. And so they are using their personal vehicles. They are taking their own checking accounts to cover the cost of this, to deliver food, to deliver medical supplies, and other things that are critically needed to these smaller communities. So our organization supports them in their efforts, taking leadership skills and networking of our volunteers to help bring them together into a cohesive and effective logistics system.
As we know, too, now that things have, well, not calmed down, but become a little more open and able to be restored in the northern part of the country, is that where a lot of your focus is going to be right now as the Russians have realigned themselves further into the eastern part of Ukraine?
Well, our organization is focused along both axes right now. So as we have seen the Russian forces pull out, they have left absolutely brutal destruction, nothing short of war crimes in their wake. And so this has left a civilian population that is in desperate need of everything from explosive ordnance disposal techniques and technicians to clear unexploded ordnance off of the battlefields that are in these communities, to mental health care providers to help those most suffering. So we're continuing to help those get out to those communities. And then in the south and the east, right now what some are hoping is Russia pulling forces out is most likely, in my personal opinion, turning into staging for the next chapter of this war. So we are continuing to send resources down to be staged in forward locations and distributed to those along the southern axis. And everything from Mykolaiv, Kharkiv, out towards those areas so that when those upcoming attacks do occur, we have resources to continue to support those families.
Talking with David Rubardo, who is the founder of Volunteers for Ukraine. Volunteerforukraine.org is the website, volunteerforukraine.org. And we have it linked at our homepage as well. You're listening to Issues and Ideas. I was doing some reading, some Googling about your organization. There are people who really are clueless or making accusations. So I just want to give you the opportunity to explain. Someone wants to get involved. It's just not, you're not just sending people over there. There's a vetting process that you have, an application process that is going to make sure you have sincere, experienced people, because there's important work that needs to be done. So you don't want to wind up being a babysitter for somebody, for example.
Absolutely. So what we saw very early on is that many people had extremely sincere intentions of helping, but ultimately not the right skill set. So early on in the process, we found individuals that bought a plane ticket, jumped over here. We had one guy who lost a passport, ran out of money, and called us like, hey, I'm lost in a country. He didn't even make it into Ukraine yet. So we've been an assistance point to help those individuals get the support they need. And we've found very quickly that ultimately we can help prevent that by sending the right people. So the people of Ukraine have been extremely skilled, extremely brave, and ultimately this is a very, very flourishing first world country with modern technology and a largely intact infrastructure. So with this initial rush of volunteers, many of them got to Lviv, set up shop here, said, I'm ready to do work, and the locals turned around and said, oh, that's good, but we've got this covered. So what we had to do at that point is expand our network, pushing people forward there. And in doing so, what we've realized is that we need to be sending the right people. So we reach out to these individuals. We verify military service records. We ask questions to make sure that we're not sending somebody with an extremist ideology. We look for background checks. And only then do we send a volunteer once we've matched them up with a job that is in demand there, making sure that they're providing a value and not becoming a burden.
And for someone who understands the importance of your work but doesn't feel they're the right person to go there, what are some of the ways they can help from here?
Well, the biggest thing that we are hearing right now is that they need money specifically. Because right now, the Ukrainian people have mobilized as a country. Their military is fighting fiercely, and I'm just watching some of the most brilliant maneuvering and effective employment of their forces to hold back the Russian onslaught. The civilians that are not actively there are all supporting the conflict to provide as much assistance and keep things running. But what you're seeing is that these individuals who are doing so are doing it out of their own pocketbooks. And so our organization is mobilizing to help in give them the resources that they need. As Zelensky said, you know, I don't need a ride, I just need ammunition.
Yeah.
And so with that being on the political and military side, these grassroots teams that we are supporting, their biggest thing is they need funds for fuel. They need repair parts for their vehicles. One of our aid drops, we had a vehicle drive up towards Kiev, and because of all of the shrapnel from the artillery, they had four flat tires on one supply drop. So fortunately, they're bringing a large stock of them, but it does add up over time. And most of these people are either running out of money or having to take out loans to continue their operations. So is the best thing that we can do. We have a donation portal on that website, and it is absolutely a way that you can take those funds and turn it into a direct impact. For every $300 that we raise, we're able to send a team to do a supply drop into an area such as Kiev or Mykolaiv or Kharkiv. That's about the cost of the fuel for these vehicles. And these are all people doing it out of their own pockets, their own personal vehicles. So from our side, that's the best thing that we can do to make a difference within our network.
So here's an idea for you listening. You heard David give that figure of $300. If you could do it on your own, that's wonderful. But I bet you have at least 30 people in your workplace. You think each one can pony up, including you, $10. They're $300 real fast right there for you to help what is one of the legitimate difference-making organizations for the people of Ukraine, Volunteers for Ukraine. Again, the website, volunteerforukraine.org, volunteerforukraine.org. find out more about becoming an active on the scene member of their team, as well as how to support them from a distance, but still connecting with the important work that Volunteers for Ukraine is making a difference with in Ukraine and the surrounding country. We've been talking with the founder of Volunteers for Ukraine, David Ribardo. David, thank you for the work that you're doing, the leadership you're showing, and the inspiration, not just for the people of Ukraine, but people here in America, that you are cultivating. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you for having me.